This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 444. Be inspired by Anastasia's whole band IELTS increase.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today you'll meet a favorite Three Keys student, Anastasia, who increased her overall IELTS score from a 6 to a 7. Listen and learn how hard work leads to exam success. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, IELTS listeners. We are super fortunate today to get to talk to, honestly, one of my favorite students that I've had in Three Keys IELTS, because we've got to work together quite a few times. Right, Anastasia?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I was telling Anastasia this before we started recording. I am so excited that all of you listeners get to meet her, because she is truly such a great example for you guys about hard work and how it pays off. I'm inspired by the efforts that you've put into this, Anastasia. So let's get to your scores first. Tell us, did you take IELTS before, or was this the first time for you?
No, actually, I had this exam twice. Real exam, and also I purchased two mock tests.
Okay, all right. And what were the scores that you got previously?
A year ago, I had overall 6, and 6 in all the sections.
Okay. Yeah. And what scores did you need?
To be honest, the more the better, of course. But
sure.
The required score was 6.5 in all the sections.
Okay.
Not less than 6 in each.
Okay. Why? Why are you taking IELTS?
I want to obtain a master's degree abroad. I haven't decided the exact country, because it depends on the scholarship I get.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my objective. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. And you got the scores you needed. I mean, like, you're done with IELTS. IELTS has been such a big part of your life in your recent past, and it's done, man. I'm so excited for you. Okay, so what were your scores on your most recent exam?
I had overall 7, and in terms of sections, I had listening 8, reading 7.5, writing 6.5, and speaking 6.5.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of perfect. I mean, of course, we always want higher scores than what we get, you know? Like,
yeah.
You're always going to be like, oh, but why didn't I just get like a 7 in writing or whatever? But these are great scores, and this is what you needed.
Yeah. Actually, I anticipated higher score, but I was so nervous. Maybe I made some mistakes, and I wanted, of course, more, but that's okay. Yeah, 7 is great, really great.
So how do you think the nervousness affected you on exam day?
It affected me drastically on speaking. I, I tried to calm down. I used some techniques, but I don't know, in front of the examiner, my mind went blank and I didn't explain it. And I made some mistakes, but yeah.
Well, the fact that you could feel like you made mistakes and you could recognize the anxiety, combined with the fact that you still got a 6.5, is kind of amazing. Like, that's really awesome. Okay, cool. So let's get into some like specific tips or advice you might have for our listeners. Let's start with the incredible listening score of 8. What? How did you do that?
I feel that it's mostly due to the fact that I was listening to podcasts, of course, your podcasts and NPR, and I subscribe to too many podcasts, and I listen to it whenever I can, when I was going for a stroll, when I was working out, before going to sleep. It's the easiest way of practicing listening. You don't need to write down anything. You just have to use your headset and your smartphone.
Yeah, totally. That's such a good way to, students are always asking, like, I don't live in an English speaking country. How can I immerse myself in English? And this is one of those ways, right? Just surround yourself with as much of the language as possible. Was it difficult at first? Like when you started listening to all the podcasts, was it hard because maybe you didn't understand it all? And then, like, how long did it take for you to feel like you were really comfortable understanding?
Yeah, I don't recall. Maybe it's not only podcasts, you know. Mm-hmm. I also watched some movies with subtitles, so that I could read how the words can be pronounced.
Yeah,
and I found a person with whom I could had a conversations. And I asked him to spell me some words, and I wrote it down, and then we could check it. And it, I think it also helped me. But in terms of podcasts, some are quite simple to understand,
Could you recommend some podcasts for the listeners that they might find easier to understand?
Yeah, of course, your podcasts are easy to understand, and they are loud enough to listen to it in the car, for instance.
Okay.
Yeah, and also BBC Learning English. You can listen to it in order to learn some useful vocabulary.
That is a great resource, though. Just that whole site, BBC Learning English. There's so many great resources on there. What about stuff made for native speakers? Did you get into any podcasts like that?
I subscribe to like NPR. I think it's not for English learners.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Okay. And BBC World Service. And Fresh Air.
Yeah. I love Terry Gross so much. I would be starstruck if I met Terry Gross in real life. It would be amazing. Guys, Terry Gross is the host of Fresh Air. And this is, we've recommended it before. She is one of the most professional, likable, amazing hosts on the radio today. So, okay, awesome. What about as far as like testing skills go? So on the listening exam, was there any strategy or technique that you practiced and you thought really helped you get that 8?
I always listened to the text before the actual exercise in order to immerse into the situation.
Yeah.
So I anticipated some vocabulary, some phrases that they are going to say.
Awesome.
And then, I used underlining keywords. I used all the strategies you gave.
Okay, good. but that first strategy that you mentioned is really important, and a lot of students overlook it. Guys, the introduction at the beginning of every listening section, don't skip it. I mean, you need to focus on it. I think a lot of students just start looking at the questions right away, right? Because everybody's like nervous and trying to jump ahead. But guys, in that introduction, they tell you who you're going to hear, what they're going to talk about. And like Anastasia said, it's about being active. It's about anticipating vocabulary, anticipating, you know, what they're going to say. And that really helps you understand once you do start listening. Okay, perfect.
And moreover, I used some techniques from anti-anxiety module when I was freaking out on the exam. I felt my feet on the ground and trying to breathe. Because it's really easy to get confused with this pace of speaking.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. All of our anti-anxiety techniques are designed to like lower the affective filter. That it's a whole linguistics term. I won't go into details, but basically, like, your anxiety can, like, bring a wall up in your brain, right, that prevents you from understanding, prevents information from coming in. So that's the point of these anti-anxiety practices or techniques or strategies, is to help you just be present, be grounded, and be able to take in the information without any obstructions. So that's great. I'm so glad that helped you. That one of just grounding yourself with your feet on the floor, that's, I use that sometimes too. Okay, awesome. Let's go on to reading. So reading 7.5, like, what? That's awesome. Could you give us any testing tips that you think really helped you get that? Hello, lovely and delightful IELTS listeners. If you would like access to the same community and the same strategies that helped Anastasia increase her overall score by a whole band point, get into the 3 Keys IELTS Success System. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. We'll see you there.
To be frank, I just did a lot of reading tests just recently before the exam. I downloaded Cambridge books and some other books with tests. And I clearly used strategies with underlining, with finding specific information. And when you do it a lot of times, you know how exactly it looks like. You can get used to it. And then on the real exam, you feel like comfortable, you know what to do. And there is no new exercises on the real exam. Everything can be practiced before.
Yeah, that's a really great thing to make explicit or to recognize about the IELTS exam. Guys, listeners, there are, we know the question types. IELTS does not make it secret what kinds of questions are on every exam, right? There's going to be multiple choice. There's going to be matching headings to paragraphs. We know what we're going to see. And thus, you just need the strategies for each of those question types. And like Anastasia said, it's all about applying those strategies to test practice as much as you can, but of course, not too much to where like you go crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a fine balance. Sorry?
The less is more.
Yeah, totally. But that's so true. I have been meeting with, for some reason, like a lot of our students in the course are taking the exam this Saturday. So I've been meeting with a bunch of people in this past week. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, like, stop practicing. Like, you need to not do any more practice tests right now. Because it's just, like, I can hear how tired they get, you know, and that is not the way to prepare for success. So definitely less is totally more.
It's better to know the verge. Yeah. And in addition to reading, for reading, I would recommend read more articles about those topics like animals, insects, fish, some scientific articles, because some words
that's all right.
They appear in reading tests, and when you know what they mean, these words, I mean, you can deal with that task better.
That's so true.
Basic words, for instance, feathers of birds.
Right. And like that seems like obviously to a native speaker, that's like a basic word, right? But that's not a word that you're going to come across in like vocab lists. I mean, students don't naturally know what what the different parts of animals are in English, you know? So that's a really good point. Actually, guys, I just did a YouTube video about scientific resources. So come back to the blog, IELTS.allearsenglish.com. This is episode 444. Search for this episode. I will link to those resources in the blog post because Anastasia's right. I mean, IELTS says that you don't need any specialist knowledge, but that's not completely true. I mean, you do need to know just enough about a lot of things. Like, you don't need to know like 1,000 technical words about biology, but you do need to know there's a threshold, right? Of like expected knowledge about so many topics. So the wider variety of resources you're reading and listening to, obviously the better. Okay, cool. So let's get into the writing and speaking, because this is really what I feel like you excelled in, seeking out practice and really like challenging yourself and pushing yourself to improve. The first thing I want to ask you about is the power hours, because I met you a few times in our power hours and I could see improvement. Like every time we met, I could see improvement. So Anastasia, what do you feel like? Well, actually, first guys, guys, let me explain what a power hour is. The students in our course, they can participate in every month. We have 3 power hours, 2 for writing and speaking, 1 for reading. And you can meet with me and other students on Skype to get like live feedback on speaking and writing. So Anastasia, if you could sort of recall anything specific, any advice that you got in a power hour that you feel like helped you?
Yes. Yeah. For instance, in writing task 1, it's vital to know how to group the numbers, put the numbers in groups, in two mm-hmm. clear groups, and what exactly to write down in order to achieve the criteria. Comparison, just those numbers which are important, not unnecessary numbers, and just two clear paragraphs with the introduction, paraphrasing, mm-hmm. And for writing task two, maybe it's brainstorming that is quintessential, I would say, to be attentive when you are reading the task, because there can be some words, some phrases that you cannot recognize briefly. You just need to immerse into that task.
Yeah. Well. No, that's a really good point, though. I think both of those things, I explain as clearly as I can, obviously, in the course exactly what numbers you need to choose and why and where to put them, right? Like, it's all there, but it's not always that easy, you know? Like, there are some really difficult task one questions out there. And students, knowing which numbers you need to circle, knowing which numbers need to be put in your essay is not always apparent. It's not always clear, because sometimes questions have a lot of numbers, sometimes they don't have very many. So it is really useful to sign up for one of those task one power hours just to get that sort of last minute check, like, yeah, you should have had more numbers, or like you're trying to have too much, you know? Like, we have to learn where we can be flexible with the strategies and what we need to stick to exactly, you know? And that's not always obvious. So just those little check-ins, I think, with me and other students is just really good as you're moving along in your preparation, just to make sure you're moving in the right direction. And like Anastasia said, meeting all the exam requirements. In our course, we tell you exactly what the examiner is looking for. But again, like, how do you know what that means in your writing? Like, you're not an examiner. How do you know what that exactly means in each paragraph or whatever? So, okay, awesome. And as far as speaking goes, so you mentioned that you had some extra practice with some other students in the course. Is that right?
Yeah. We organized like Skype group, and we could practice whenever we could.
Okay. So how did you do that? How did you find people to be study partners?
In your close Facebook group, there are many people who are searching for practice. So not everyone was active.
Sure.
Some just ate it and were really silent, but some of them were like studious, and they encouraged others to participate.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we could pair up for speaking and to practice with the questions.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think that last step is necessary before you're gonna do the exam. You have to practice talking to another person, right? And you know, some students go for iTalki so they could talk to a native speaker because they're worried about practicing with other students, right? Like, they think they need a native speaker in order to practice with. But guys, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I practiced with native speakers as well, but not so much. Maybe 5 or 6 times, because they can point out my mistakes in pronunciation, in some structures that non-native speakers cannot recognize.
Totally. But a native speaker is like, that's the person that could help you with vocab, grammar structures, pronunciation, which of course you need all of those to improve your English. But at the same time, like, if that is not always accessible, you know, I mean, you had a little practice with native speakers, right? And you met with me a few times. Mm-hmm. But that's not, you're not going to be able to access that every day. But speaking is something that if you're going to grow in fluency and confidence, then you need to just talk as much as possible, right? And it doesn't have to be to a native speaker. So like meeting with other motivated IELTS students, I highly, highly recommend, guys, find someone who is just as motivated as yourself, because that keeps you going. We've had a couple posts this week in our Facebook group, people just sharing their frustration, right? Just being like, I don't feel like I have enough time for this. I'm so tired, you know, but I think that is also important, being able to know that you're in a safe community with people who are also working as hard as you are, because then you're motivated to keep going, right? Because then you're like, okay, I know Anastasia's going to be there today. I'm going to be there too. You know, I think having that community is really important. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Anastasia, would you like to give any last piece of advice for our listeners on how they can increase their band score by a whole band point like you did? What, any secret, any last tip that you could talk about today?
To prepare, not for, I mean, spend more time for preparation, more than 2 months, because 2 months actually is enough to learn what you need, but not enough to practice it enough.
Oh, okay.
And to immerse into culture, and get used to that in order not to be anxious on the exam. I recommend these. Secondly, I would recommend to have a mock test, just to know how it goes in the center, when in the classroom, when everybody's sitting and writing. I think it's also essential. The last maybe piece of advice: try to have fun. English is can be entertaining, be engaging, and it's not so boring like at school or in the university.
Right. Yeah. I love it. That's fantastic. Exactly. Guys, your IELTS preparation should not kill you. God, that sounded bad. No, but really, guys, your IELTS preparation shouldn't be something that makes you feel negatively, right? It shouldn't be something that you're like, oh, I have to do that now. You know, like, it's all about taking control, finding the resources that inspire you, finding ways to make this practice not only effective, of course, but enjoyable. I love that. English is fun, man. It should be fun. Yeah, okay, exactly. Fantastic. Well, Anastasia, thank you so much for coming on today and talking about your experience. And I'm so proud of you. I am so happy that you got the scores you needed. And you could stop with IELTS and you could just do other things now with your life.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for everything you do. Your course is gold. Your podcast's precious. And
yay! Thank you.
Awesome. I appreciate your work. Your hard work.
My pleasure. I mean, English is fun and my job is delightful. I'm very lucky. Okay, Anastasia, well, best of luck in the future, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Talk later. Bye.
Bye, Jessica.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.